Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The word of God for the people of God.
All right. How's everyone doing? I'm excited today for the message, for the baptism that's going on, for other things. Anyway, we all know we've all been affected by COVID in many ways, just this pandemic. But it's nice. I tell you, it's just joyous to me to see that we're starting up kids programs and starting to do some things like that. Anyway, so today we're continuing. We've been doing this series called Move, and really talking about part of being a Christian. The Christian walk is that God moves us from one place to another. If you're around me long enough, you will end up finding out that related to that, I am all about transformed lives. People's lives being transformed by the power of God. And that's about movement. That's about people moving from one thing to another. So I've been excited about this message, just the things that we've been covering. But today I'm going to be talking about lost, moving from lost, being lost, to moving to life. And we have our baptism today. It's really a significant, it's a great representation of that. So, but my life. So I had, now many, many years ago, that makes me feel like I'm getting old. For those of you, as you get older, you notice that the definition of old keeps moving about 5 years, every 5 years. Yeah, old is, yeah. So, yeah, I hit the 50 mark this last year. So, yeah, that's definitely, it's now turned to 55 is the definition of old. But with that, that would be 26 years ago, many, many years ago, I was lost. I was trying to find success in all the normal things. You know, you often hear preachers, and by the way, this sort of fits in, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I'd also say success for me was one of those. I thought I was having success at a very young age. I took over a business and turned it around. I thought that was going to bring me happiness and contentment, and it didn't. I then began looking for other things. Had already had a minor drug problem even going into that, but it just went out of control. I was lost. I was very lost. And luckily, God sent someone to me to share with me, and God radically changed my life. Radically changed my life. He gave me a purpose and gave me a choice whether I was going to follow him or not. So this week is an evangelistic message. That's what we'd call it. It's focused on trying to help people move from being lost to life. And life, the Bible talks about having life and life more abundantly. Not just life, but having it more abundant. So some of the things that we have to understand with the saving work of Jesus Christ. Now, for those online or those visiting, I know some of these words you might not understand what they mean. I'll try and help understand or use multiple terms, because we often say getting saved. What does that mean? I gave my life to Jesus. I fully surrendered. You know, all of us Christians, people go to church all the time. We know these terms, and we know them well. We know what people mean, but that might be a little confusing to you. And by the way, I don't think I'm going to fully explain all those to you or dive into those, but I just want to honor the fact that there's language that might come out of my mouth that might be like, I sort of understand, but I don't. But hopefully, you have an understanding of the saving work of Jesus Christ, and the fact that there's a place for you to move. There's a place for you to move to. So one of the things that we need to understand first, the passage that Anya read, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, we see that we all fall short. We all fall short. Doesn't matter how successful I was. It wasn't enough. I still had failures. There were still some things I did wrong. I turned the business around, but guess what? I still lost money. I still made bad decisions. I was looking for love, and sometimes it was in the wrong places, as the old song goes. But I failed at that. I didn't return love properly to people. I failed. Didn't matter what I did, I failed. I needed something more. I definitely was. As much as many people looked at me and said, you're successful, I like your life, look, you have this, you have that, you're moving forward. My life, I fell short in many, many ways. And so we all fall short. The thing is I've found out that through God's grace, that I can be saved. I can be saved from that falling short, that there's forgiveness. The things that messed up in life, that God says, hey, I've provided a plan. I've provided something, a place for you to go. And that's when we talk about being saved. You hear Christians talk about that. It's because they were saved from the consequences of that sin, the consequences of falling short. So what we want to share today is the path of salvation. For any of you who maybe haven't surrendered, fully surrendered your life to Christ, and reminding, I was getting excited as preparing this because I was being reminded of what Jesus did for me. And I've said from the pulpit many, many times before that I am fully convinced, and I'm not going to give you my whole testimony today, you know, it's going to be intertwined. I am fully convinced that I would, without Jesus Christ, I would either be in prison or dead. One of the two. I think prison was going to be the only thing that would have saved my life. That's the path I was going down, to get locked up the rest of my life where I couldn't make mistakes. That's the path I was going on. And that's what Jesus saved me from. And that's exciting to me. That is exciting to know that something happened that changed the course of my life. That was because God had a gift. He had an amazing gift for me. And for you, for Jim. I know Jim knows about the gift. And Jesse and many, many people. There's a gift for each and every one of you. And who likes gifts? Anyone here not like getting gifts? Yeah. I mean, we like gifts. I mean, I like gifts. I like gifts. And this gift, I just want to let you know, it's special. And I think I've shared about this before in a different context. But when I think about gifts, I always think about my parents. I learned something from my parents. It was really, staff even hears me talk about this sometimes when we're talking about gift cards and that. But I watched them, and they didn't do it every time, but this stuck with me as a kid, is that we had family visiting from out of town, and they were just talking, and they started sharing about the things that they needed and about something they didn't have, and my parents went out and bought that. They were in town for Christmas, and my parents went out and bought that. And to even though it was a very cheap, inexpensive gift, but that just brought joy to that family members, to those people. It brought joy to their life. And it just impacted me that's something I try and do all the time now. I try not to give just generic gifts. I know everyone, by the way, there's no problem with gift cards, but I try and avoid gift cards because I would rather give that gift that's very special and personal. Even if I were to give Jim a 50-cent pencil that had Van Halen on it, Jim would be blessed. He would be blessed. I know Jim. I don't know him real well, but I know Jim well enough to know that Jim would be blessed. Probably more than me giving him a $20 gift card if I got him a 50-cent Van Halen pencil. Okay, I'll give you the gift card. But you see, there's a thing, and the thing is God's gift for us is that special. It's special. It's something that was made just for you. and just for really for all of humanity, but included you. John 3:16. Most people throughout the U.S. and most parts of the world are familiar, have at least heard this scripture. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God gave us the ultimate gift. He gave us the ultimate gift. And I'll tell you, even in trying to explain it, I can give you the scriptures and all this, and I understand how the sacrifices worked and all this, and there's blood to atone for sin. But here's what I know. We could get into all that, but here's what I know. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, and they are forgiven. And not just forgiven, but they are forgiven in a way that empowers us, that changes us. So we don't have all that baggage dragging us down. We can move forward with life because we don't have that sin anymore. Just weighing us down. We can just, you have a real stressful situation, it just goes away and you take a deep breath and tell you, if you don't know that with all those things that you're carrying, if you don't haven't ever experienced that, it's amazing. Again, I understand it sort of because I've been educated on it, but, and again, it may not make sense to you, but that's okay. What I'm going to tell you is that it's real. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. So it says here that in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You've been saved through faith. And we're talking about move, and I'll mention this again. That's really the movement we need to make. We just need to put our faith, our trust in God and the forgiveness of the sins that's provided through Jesus Christ. We've been saved through faith. It's not through any good works. Unlike the business that I ran and I turned around, I was trying to do good things, trying to be the best business, by the best manager for this business that I could. But no, all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is accept it. It is a gift. It is a gift. And the exciting part, really, I'll tell you the exciting part, is it's not just that God says, "Oh, guess what? I'm going to take that away," and then he walks away and leaves you alone. It's not that. It says that God has a plan for each of you. It's not just that he's going to forgive you from sins. This is one of the things that makes it so amazing and exciting. It'd be exciting enough to be pardoned if you had all types of things and you're going to prison for the rest of your life, to have all that taken away. That'd be exciting. But that we have, there's a plan for your life that God has. So here, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." There's nothing to harm. I know when we have a God that, when we have things that we're not supposed to, we're supposed to love our neighbor, we have some of these things, we have the Ten Commandments, shouldn't commit adultery, and we have these things that can seem tough, but God has plans not to harm you. Those are not there to harm you. The plans of God are not there to harm you. They are not to make your life difficult. It is not a burden. It is not a burden to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. My future was death or prison. And God has done so much since then. So what is the plan for your life? What plan does God have for your life? And I'll just talk first for those who know Jesus. We talk about that, about someone who's saved. But for those of you who know Christ, what is that plan? Are you engaging in that still? Because God has a plan that, and it's not to harm you. It's to give you a hope and a future. That's for those who are maybe looking at accepting Christ. thinking about deciding that thing, but that's for all of us too. We all have a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And if you've lost that vision, I'll tell you, I know we're going to have a baptism and other stuff, but I tell you what, we'd love to pray with you. If that vision is lost, we'd love to pray with you. Whether it's here after the service, out in the lobby, give us a call. We'd love to pray with you. But also, if you're going like, I need a plan, I need hope. Again, we would love to talk with you. We would love to sit down and explain that to you in great detail, the plans that God might have for you. The plans that God might have for you. A scripture that was ingrained in my head by someone, some of you would know, Ephesians 2:10, right? Some of you guys probably know that. Anya's father, that's something, it doesn't matter where he's done ministry, you could probably have him, he'd say it in almost every message of his. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So not only does God have a plan to give you hope, but he already has it in place. It's already in place for you. He planned it, and we can go back and say that even before you were in your mother's womb, that God had a plan for you. God has a plan for each and every one of you. When you surrender your life to him, and he has a plan that's already outlaid, it's already there. God already knows what he wants you to do, what plan he has, how he's going to use you. And if you know me, it's pretty big that we see later in Ephesians, God says that he does empower us. He uses us to do his works. We are the ones who are the mouthpiece for God. That's a humbling thing, but God has amazing things for each and every one of you. I should jump up and down. This is a warm shirt. I bought it. I didn't realize how warm it was going to be. First time wearing it. I already rolled up my sleeves, sweating. But God has a plan for you. It doesn't matter whether you're disabled. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. I don't want to call people out by name, but I'll tell you, if you're around here enough, you're going to see that we don't stop. You don't just not do any ministry because you're disabled. God still can use you. God wants to use you. We want to welcome you and use you. If you're disabled or not, God wants to use you. Mental health. The thing is even with mental health things, God still has a plan for you. I know society might say that there's nothing, but guess what? God has a plan for people, even who are struggling with mental health issues. There's still a plan and a purpose. If you struggle with depression, that doesn't disqualify you from having God having a purpose for your life. If you struggle from schizophrenia, that doesn't mean that God does not have a plan for your life. God has a plan for each and every one of you. There is nothing that's going to keep God from having a plan for you. It doesn't matter what you're able to do. I've shared this before, but I had a guy, one of the most evangelistic guys I ever knew. I just become a Christian. I was homeless at the time, living in a homeless shelter, and needed work. And the guy comes by, and we go grade apples, and get rolling by you, and you're watching those things roll by you, and you know you'd see people after about start to stumble. It was rather interesting. But I'm there grading apples, and there's a guy who'd gotten hit by a semi truck, and he tells a story that they found him, and his brains were sitting on the concrete, on the asphalt of the road. And to hear him talk, he told everyone about Jesus. He says that experience, now again, very mentally disabled, or whatever you want to call that, very mentally just not working right, but he found Jesus, and he says, I would take this again. If it means I find Jesus. He says, I just don't care. He says, I found Jesus and it changed my life. And he says, and it doesn't bother me that I'm like this because I found Jesus through it. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, how old you are. We have young, old. God has a plan for you, and we would love here to help you figure out what that is and how you can fit in and use that and have that plan work. So this is our destiny. This is our life. This is what God has for us, all of us, and for you personally. God has it. So he has a gift for us. He has a plan. And here's the part that what we need to do. We need to choose. It says that we get to choose. We have choices all over in life. And right now I was just talking with my wife and also was talking with Tim Lossinger the other day. But I'm trying to pick out a welder. I had one of my welders stolen and then my other one broke. So I had two welders. Now I have zero. So I've been looking at welders. And since I bought a welder, there's a lot of, at least the real high-end technology has gotten cheaper. And then with online stuff, there's some really cheap stuff that might be good, might not. And like, how much welding am I going to do? Do I do enough to buy an expensive one? Do I just buy a cheap one and it'll probably last me? I don't know. I'm sitting there trying to make a choice. There's so many choices. I mean, thousands of choices for me to make. Thousands of choices for me to make. And I'm at a loss right now. It's like, okay, do I spend $260 on something that sounds amazing and will do all types of things? Probably won't do that one. Or do I spend $1,500? And there's everything in between. I am, at the moment, not sure what choice I'm going to make. Thing is, at some point, if I want to weld, I need to make a choice. I need to make a choice. I just want to challenge you that at some point in time, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. And that's for whether you know Jesus or you don't. Do you know Jesus and you're not really living up to what you know God's called you to do? You need to make a choice and move. Move from this to that. If you don't know Jesus and you feel God just tugging at your heart and you just feel something, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. You need to choose. Am I going to move from one thing to another? God allows us to choose whether or not we will commit our lives to him. He leaves it up to a choice. Doesn't force you. Might chase you a little. He definitely chased me. He chased me a little. But yeah, he did not force me. Joshua 24:15 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves. Hear that? If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So while this wasn't God saying it, but I believe it was God inspiring someone to say, hey, choose what you want. And I would agree here. I would say the same thing. Choose what you want. But I tell you, as far as me, I know what God has done in my life. I know I've experienced the forgiveness of my sins. I've experienced the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that empowers me not just to do God's will. Even right here, this is God empowering me. I do not do this well. God has changed me in that sense. I did an oral book report, and I did it on a blind guy so I could close my eyes and pretend like I was blind because I didn't want to look at anybody. And even then, I stuttered and stammered. God has a plan for you, and we need to choose. God lets you choose. But I would just challenge you, choose. Make the choice. Don't be like me in the welder right now. I would say, just like last time I preached, I talked a lot about, hey, taking time to make that choice, and that's fine. Thing is, eventually, we need to make a choice. We need to make a choice. If God is pulling on your heart, I'd say make that, just come on, jump on in. Jump on in. Well, we're going to have some people jumping in here in a little bit. So, just I want to just make it clear that the Bible's clear that it's not what we do that grants us salvation. It's not what we do that grants us salvation. No amount of giving, good deeds, any of that can lead to your salvation. Or God, again, salvation, just being set free from the penalty of sin and having God empowering your life. It has nothing to do with what we do and everything to do with who Jesus is. And if you want to know more about that, you can come. We would love to talk to you. Keep hanging out here. But there's a time to choose. The only thing that we need to do in that is choose. That's the only thing we need to do. It's not our good works. It's not anything else. We just need to choose. Today, we're going to be celebrating many people here a little later after this song. We're going to be celebrating people who have made that choice. And that's exciting. Actually, baptisms are probably my favorite thing to do as far as just things we do in the church. It's exciting. I'm going to close with this and then a prayer. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you are ready to confess, if you are ready to just accept, just have Jesus come and do a work in your life, you can find one of us. You can come forward. We will pray with you. We will talk with you. You can give us a phone call, shoot an email. But I'd say, why don't you move and make a choice? So, Lord, I just pray for everyone here today that you would just come and move upon all of us to be able to move in the direction that you have for us to move. That you'd empower all of us, even if we've sort of wandered away from the path, that you'd empower us to move forward and live the life of hope and that you have for us. Amen.